to you. And it is a pleasure to stand up here with my brother. He's one of those special people to me. He's a special people to everyone in this congregation. And he has been for a long, long time. Very faithful in this work. And as I said in my prayer, he's delivered many, many sermons. Many. And I do remember many of them. I have a very poor memory, but I do remember many of his sermons. And I know that he has made a preparation. I know that it's taking a greater effort because of his eyesight. But I tell you, I wish that I could remember as many scriptures as he has upon his mind and upon his heart. I wish I had them at the tips of my fingers like he does. So I know that the Lord will bless him this morning, our brother Bill.
That got it now?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I've found out that some of these things have slipped away, but nevertheless are in my heart and in my mind, and the Lord brings them to my attention from time to time, and I constantly rejoice in the precious words that are contained in the scriptures of the Bible and the Book of Mormon especially. And yes, also in Latter-day Revelations. And I think that we would do well to be more studious of those scriptures. And not only to study them from the standpoint of gaining knowledge, but that we might make them more applicable in our lives. But I'd like to read as a scripture text this morning. And incidentally, you might want to, I hope that you'll make some notations of some scriptures that I have in mind to bring to us and other reference. But this is from the second psalm that I'm going to read. I think I'm going to read six verses from that, beginning with the first. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Let's go back there to that first verse again. I don't know perhaps of any single verse in the scriptures of the Bible in the Book of Mormon that is more applicable to the circumstances of our day and time than this very verse. Let's read it again. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. We're living in a time when the heathen are raging. And literally so. Amongst the nations of the earth. And the nations and the people imagine a vain thing. And I'll tell you this, and it was brought out in our Sunday school class very nicely this morning, that men have set themselves to establish their governments, and not only their governments, but all the various elements of our society, and have the vain imagination within them that they're doing a great thing. Well, I'll tell you this, all the imaginations of men and the plans that they have for development of their society and of themselves will come to naught. And the only thing that will be of any of lasting and of worth will be those things that are centered upon our God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The nations are saying, let us break their bands asunder. Cast away their cords from us. You're going to laugh at them. The Lord shall have them in derision. And he's going to speak to them and vex them. Sixth verse, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill in Zion. That's really the basic thought that I'm wanting to cover this morning, if the Lord is willing, that the Lord is going to set his king, who is his son, Jesus Christ, upon my holy hill in Zion. Well, let's go on from there. I have a companion text that I'd like to read to you from the book of Revelation and chapter 14. And I'm going to quote to you a text that we have looked upon quite favorably down through the years since the establishment of the Church of Christ in 1830. And we've used that text as a means of establishing in the minds of the children of men that God has set his hand to restore the gospel in these the latter days, and in so doing he has established the Church of Christ, and in the process has brought forth the Book of Mormon. And we have rejoiced in those things, and here's what we read, and we rightly read this from the 14th chapter of Revelation and verses 6 and 7. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come. And worship Him that made the heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. We rightly read those things to those who are not acquainted with the restoration of the gospel and declare this as being a valid text appropriate to our time in these the latter days. And you and I in the Church of Christ are blessed because we have received that message that has been proclaimed by an angel. And incidentally, do you know that was literally fulfilled, that an angel brought forth this, the beginning of this work in these the latter days? And I'm going to tell you who that angel was. And it's one that is not normally recognized as being the one that is here referenced in this text. But I'll rehearse to your mind an incident that happened in the lifetime of Joseph Smith, Jr., in the very beginning of this work. He, with his fellow servant, Oliver Cowdery, had read in the scriptures about the need of being baptized and taking upon them the name of Christ, and they were anxious to do that. And they went out and prayed to the Lord. And an angel of God came to them. And he identified himself as John the Baptist. And he ordained them to the holy priesthood after the order of the Son of God, and told them that God was about to bring forth a marvelous work and a wonder, and that Joseph Smith should be useful in God's hands in the bringing about of that marvelous work and a wonder. Now, it's true that an angel later appeared to Joseph Smith through his humble prayers and gave him to understand where the plates or the of the what is we call the Book of Mormon were located, and gave him to understand many things with regard to the people upon this land, the ancient Americans, of their society, of their faith, of their heart wanderings, and of their society in general. And so we have the record of the Book of Mormon. And we're rightly grateful for that. But you know, there is following that text that I have just quoted to you a statement that I want to also refer to, found in the 8th verse. And we sometimes just pass that by and just as though it is of no worth or any value to us. But note what it says here. And there followed another angel on top of this first angel. There followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Well, that great city was ancient Rome. And there was a people that developed there that polluted the Word of God and caused that the name of Christ should really be blasphemed and that they should worship idols in the place of their Savior Jesus Christ, or more especially. What I'm leading to is this, that first angel has come and established the Church of Christ, the kingdom of God upon the earth in the latter days, and this is not just another church, it's the church and the kingdom of God. I'm talking about the Church of Christ. We have had the privilege of becoming a part of it. But don't sit back on your laurels and take any honor or credit unto yourself. If there be any honor or credit or glory, it belongs to God. And it will be of value to us only so far as we are living in obedience to the gospel of Christ. But there was to come this other angel following this first angel, and crying out that Babylon was to fall. And Babylon, in a word, is the world. And that's really what was referenced there back there in Psalms, the second chapter that I read in to begin with. The world is going to come crashing down. That's Babylon. And it must be so in order that the kingdom of God shall be established in righteousness. And as a part of that, the Lord will set his king upon Mount Zion, our Savior Jesus Christ. So that's really the essence of what I'm wanting to bring to our attention is the establishment of that Zion of God. Oh, I've talked about these things a good many times. And I, Lord being willing, I hope to yet have a few more times ahead. But these things are vital. We are not only to be concerned about the basic principles of the gospel of Christ, which is most important of all, but also the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come again to this earth and to reign upon it and establishing a reign of peace for 1,000 years. Well, bless your hearts, we're living right on the doorstep of that time when Christ is going to return again to this earth. And before it happens, there has to come about a desolation of Babylon or the world as we see it today. Don't put your trust there. Put it in God. And so I have several items that I want to touch upon fairly briefly as I am convinced is the basic principles that have to do with the establishment of the Zion of God, where the king shall sit upon his throne, and which Zion shall be indeed established in what is referred to as most especially in the Book of Mormon as the New Jerusalem. And here are the items that I want to touch upon just briefly. Item number one, with regard to the establishment of this Zion, is first of all, the resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. And that's going back some 2,000 years. But this is all part of God's plan in the establishment of Zion in the latter days. Number two, I have the endowment of power at Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost. And we have those who talk about Pentecost today, and they think of it only in terms of speaking in tongues. And there was that which did establish Pentecost back there 2,000 years ago. But this is an element of the what the Lord is a pre-run. Is that the term I want to use? A preliminary to what is going to be established in the latter days as well, similar to the Pentecost of old. I want you to think about those things. There was an endowment of power at Jerusalem in Pentecost. Third item, coming forth of the Book of Mormon and the Church of Christ in 1830. I've already referenced that. And the fourth item, the establishment of Zion. And I have listed as 4A, the building of the New Jerusalem. 4B would be the gathering of Latter-day Israel. Am I going too fast for you here? 4B, the gathering of Latter-day Israel with others who are pure in heart. And you notice I said there are others. We sometimes kind of get the idea that, well, we've come into the Church of Christ and we've got the whole thing. Well, we don't. We're only a part of the small cog of things that God is bringing about in these latter days. And in so bringing about his purposes, he's going to gather the pure in heart from wherever they are. And I guess only God himself knows who that will be. But don't get the idea in your mind that just simply because you're members of the Church of Christ that you've got the whole thing wrapped up. You haven't. It's only a very small part of the work of God. The gathering of his people of the house of Israel. The establishment of Zion, a 1,000-year reign of peace. How many of us really believe that Jesus Christ, who lived 2,000 years ago, is going to come again in the latter days? And we shall see his face and behold his form. And I just rather expect that when he comes, he'll be doing just essentially some of the same things that he did when he appeared to our brethren of the Nephites upon this continent. He came to them after he had caused a great destruction upon the nations or upon that people of Israel here upon this continent and destroyed many of their cities, earthquakes, and tempests and other forms of violence that caused the destruction of the cities. But anyway, he appeared to them after that period of time, and he commanded that their little children should be brought unto him. I'm just foolish enough to believe that when Christ comes again, he'll do about the same thing. He's going to take our little children, lay his hands upon them and bless them. And then he will teach us of those things that have been amiss. Yes, right within the Church of Christ, if you please. And whether you please or not, there's going to be some correction take place in the Church of Christ. So don't sit back on your laurels and just say all's well in Zion. We've seen what the Lord has designed to do in order to bring about Zion in the latter days. Shall we read that again? The resurrection of Christ, the endowment of power in Jerusalem at the day of Pentecost, the coming forth of the Book of Mormon and the Church of Christ in 1830, and then the establishment of Zion by the building of a new Jerusalem. Do you believe that? There's going to be a building of a city called New Jerusalem, and that will be Zion? You believe that? Well, you better. The gathering of the Latter-day Israel with others who are pure in heart. Foresee the Latter-day gift of power from heaven. Now we think that God is blessing us marvelously today and seeing many gifts and blessings, and rightly so. But it's not a tithe of what will be revealed when the power of heaven comes down upon His people as He causes them to gather together to build Zion or the New Jerusalem. It's only a tithe of what will yet be revealed. I often think of the text that is used by, or the statement made by the Apostle Paul. I think it was the Corinthian saints. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. That's what I'm talking about here when I'm talking about the establishment of Zion and the New Jerusalem. Concerning the gathering of His people together, I guess I'm going to read to you from 3 Nephi 10 and 3. And you've heard this many times before, but it bears repeating. And it follows what had been revealed in the 9th chapter of a terrible desolation coming upon the nations in the latter days. I don't intend to go into that. But I want to go to the 10th chapter of 3rd Nephi concerning the gathering of the people of God. And it's speaking of repentant Gentiles, those who have repented at the time that His destruction is going to be meted out upon the nations in the latter days in our time. Following that, there's going to be a great ingathering of His people, of Israel. And it refers to them simply as those who had repented of their sins at that time of the great destruction that is referenced in the 9th chapter, the latter part. But here's what it says concerning those who repent of the Gentiles. But if they will repent and harden and hearken unto my words and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob. And he's speaking of the people of the Nephites as the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob, and also as many of the house of Israel as shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. Well, I believe in that literally just as we have read it to you here. Repentant Gentiles are going to be gathered together into one and be numbered with the remnant of Jacob that we call the American Indians. And they together shall build the New Jerusalem. And then shall they assist my people that they may be gathered in, which are scattered upon all the face of the land in unto the New Jerusalem. And the fourth verse. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst, And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, even when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people. And we've seen a beginning of that in the Church of Christ today. And the gospel has opened up amongst the remnant of Jacob that was located down there in Yucatan, Mexico, through the instrumentality of Apostle Clarence L. Wheaton, and later by the ministrations of others who followed him. They proclaimed the gospel to them. And Brother Wheaton took a small volume of the Book of Mormon that he had with him at that time when he was talking to, well, the one who was acknowledged as being the king of the Mayan people in that area. He took his copy, a small copy of the Book of Mormon, and read to them of the coming of Christ to this continent and of his marvelous work amongst that people. And when he had done that, the king of the Mayan people took that Book of Mormon and laid it to his heart and said, "This is our book." And the Church of Christ has moved forward from that time to the present. Oh, there's a lot more needs to be done amongst them. But at least the work has started. The great gathering of the people of the remnant of Jacob, who should be numbered with the Gentiles, repentant Gentiles, in preaching the gospel in these the latter days. So we've had wonderful things that have transpired, but it's only just a small part of that which is yet to be done. In connection with that text that I've just read from 10th chapter of 3rd Nephi, I want to go to Jeremiah 16, verses 14 to 16. And here's what we read. "Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, and it shall no more be said, The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt." They'll no longer say that. "But the Lord liveth," this is what they'll say, "The Lord liveth, that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers." So the Lord's going to cause a great gathering to Jerusalem. But he's going to have also, in connection with that gathering, a gathering to those who shall build the New Jerusalem, which New Jerusalem is to be upon this continent here of the Americas and in these United States of America and in this Church of Christ in Independence, Missouri. The center place of Zion shall be built by the gathering of the saints beginning at the temple lot, according to Revelation through Joseph Smith. Believe that? I do. So, the Lord has some marvelous things that is going to be brought about in his own time and way, and he's going to laugh at the foolishness of mankind and bring to naught their imaginations and establish them in peace and in righteousness for 1,000 years upon this earth. Christ is going to reign upon Mount Zion. And there should be no hurt nor harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. The lamb shall lie down with the wolf or the lion, and a little child shall lead them. Isn't that wonderful? Do you think there could be some of us here who might be living at that time? I think so. Whether I'm to be numbered amongst them is immaterial. To be alive at that time, I'm convinced that if I can live faithful until the end of my days, I'll be numbered with them, because I'll be with the Lord and we'll be brought to this New Jerusalem and this Mount Zion to be with those who are here. So whether I'm living or have passed away, it's immaterial. If I can be faithful, I'll be numbered with those who will be gathered in the building of that New Jerusalem and in the establishment of the church and kingdom of God upon the earth for a 1,000-year reign of peace. I spoke of the latter-day gift of power. I read to you 3 Nephi 10, verses 4 through 11. The real cause of Zion, which was had in the New Testament and Nephite churches. Now listen to this. The real cause of Zion in the New Testament and Nephite churches was all things common. And by that I mean it simply developed in their hearts because of their pure love of God, their Father, and of their fellow man, that whatever my brother needed is my need as well. I'll supply their need if I have it and leave them in God's hand, and He'll bless them and bless me in that effort if I do so. We have not yet reached the condition that is called all things common in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. I'm sorry to say that. We have not yet reached that condition in the Church of Christ, but it'll be a reality. Well, I did not intend to make this quite a lengthy sermon, but I do want to read to you the words of a song that's found in our hymnal in 265. And it was the words called an admonition given to a servant of God, not in the Church of Christ, but given to a servant of God, Joseph Luff. And I'm going to read, it would be well to read the whole. And you know, it's just, how do you say, well, this is more important than that or something else? But what I want to read to us is, I think, more appropriate to the thought that I have in mind, and that is with regard to the establishment of Zion and the New Jerusalem. So I'm going to read from the words of this song as found page 265, or the song number 265. I'm going to read verses 3 and 5 and 6, I think. I have spoken, few have heeded. What remains for me to do? Warnings old await vindication. Man must learn that God is true. The restraining gates, my mercy, led me off to interpose. Shall the devastating currents, fraught with woe, no more oppose? Now the fifth and sixth. Whoso lusteth after pleasure, high estate or mammon's store, the world, envious or proud remaineth, though he gain the world, is poor. If you would be rich, be holy. Would you dwell on heights above? Heed then this admonition. Climb to atmospheres of love. And that's what I was referring to when I spoke of all things common. That's the atmospheres of love. Love ye me and love all people. Love as I have loved you. This your calling, this my purpose. Thus be my disciples true. Then in this exalted station, your companion I will be. Every promise of my scriptures will be verified in thee. I believe that was the word of God through the servant of God many years ago. Again, he was not of the Church of Christ, but he was of the body of Christ. And the Lord used him, and we use it. We have that wonderful hymn in our hymnal today. I'm going to leave that with you. Like I say, I didn't intend to have a lengthy sermon. Looks like I've still got a little time. But anyway, we're just going to leave it right there. And I earnestly pray that we'll take into consideration the fact that God has established a marvelous work and a wonder in these the latter days, and we're a part of that. But we can only be a continuing part of it by the application of the principles of the gospel of Christ, and based especially upon the pure principle of divine love, of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, might, mind, and strength, and loving our neighbor as ourself. May God help us. Prayer. Thank you. Yeah. All right. Oh, yeah.
Good to be reminded of the time in which we live, a time that many that have gone before us would have wanted to live in this time, and the things that are taking place that we can see with our eyes, they would have loved to see these things taking place. And I thank our brother for bringing that forth. A reminder I forgot to announce, we starting at 6:30, we are going to have a song service. I'm sure our brother Jerry would, anyone who still has some songs or presentations to deliver, he would appreciate you telling him that he can put you on a list. And I would appreciate everyone coming out and participating in that. We are going to use 186 for a closing song. 186.